Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I think we're in for a real treat tonight. Our guest tonight is Sarah Troy, and the topic is embracing your knowingness. That sounds very curious. I'm gonna be interested to see where this show goes. I'm sure it's gonna be a delight. So chances are pretty good you're listening to this sentence that I'm speaking, and here comes another one, and perhaps you're understanding it too. The thing that makes that possible is this thing called consciousness. And you get this endless well of it, because here comes another one, another sentence, and here's your consciousness right now following it along. Time is a curious thing in the sense that it gives us this perpetual sense of now. But yet in this now, it doesn't seem like anything can, quote, happen. But since you are consciousness itself, consciousness personified, there's a real treat in that. And if you take the time to understand it, and then you take the time to discipline yourself, to come into harmony with it, the world is your oyster. There's really no limits to where consciousness can take you. The curious thing is to understand the value of what consciousness has to offer. And for so many of us, we can have a real static sense of consciousness. In other words, well, you know, I've been doing affirmations now for a while, and I'm not really seeing a significant change in my experience. Is this thing on? Does it need batteries? What's going on? But the nature of consciousness, and I think it serves us in a very powerful way, that it takes a little bit of momentum, perhaps a lot of momentum, to turn the tide as far as what we can do with this consciousness, how we can experience our life. And, the universe overall is infinitely patient with us. I've been fascinated by this idea of waking up every morning, and I have this storyline, this continuation of self, if you will. I woke up this morning, and chances are good I'll wake up tomorrow morning, time will tell, and I'll have this persistence of who I am. And that's the very fabric of creation. You've probably heard the term the ghost in the machine, that spirit, that soul within you that's illuminating and animating your body. There's an infinite well, a tireless stream of possibility in this consciousness now. And what I really like about our topic tonight, embracing your knowingness. In that stream of consciousness, there's a wisdom, there's an intelligence that transcends any human condition. There's not ever a storyline, a paradigm, a condition that truly binds us. We're bigger than any condition conceivable or achievable by man. So we're never, ever stuck. We're never, ever without choice. And this perpetual sense of now is always there for us. to give us a new opportunity. And it's not, I suggest it takes some time to really embody, to really, I guess the word would be trust, this eternal presence that is you. And our guest tonight, Sarah Troy, I was on her show just recently, and which will be played out, I believe, next week. So we've had a chance to talk already. Sarah really embodies that knowingness. She's kind of, there's a point where you get over the hump of question or doubt about yourself, and I think she embodies that so well. Sarah made a personal discovery in 2012 of self, and it was a discovery that would change her life forever. And she started a blog talk radio show called Authentic You Media, and then she turned it over and created Self Discovery Radio, of which she's a host of. I want you to welcome her to the show. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Wow, thank you so much, Les. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
So, what do you think of this incarnation thing? Do you think it's going to catch on and become popular?
I think we've got people in the groove. You know, we have people that are hungry. Yeah, they're waking up. They know there's a groovy beat going on somewhere. Their toes are tapping. You know, the hearts are uplifting, the spirits are getting united, and they're going, there's something better out there. I better be a part of it.
Very nice. So what brought you to be a radio show host and create this platform that you've created? How did that story unfold for you?
Well, I was a spiritual counselor for over 40 years, and one of these little empaths that kind of take on too much of the sorrow that goes on in people's lives. And I was in a transition, you know, a kind of a major, major crossroads, and I do suffer from depression, clinical depression, and I was in one of those modes, and when I get like that, I need to be productive. I need to get out there and solve somebody's problem. It's the only way I get through mine. And I was online responding to somebody's crisis, and Michelle Abieu of Authentic You Radio picked that up, went to my site and said, you know, I think you should have your own show. And it was like, well, it's one thing I haven't done before, but let's give it a try. My first show was a Monty Python skit because it was live. Everything went wrong that could go wrong. Pressed the wrong button. No one could hear me. Planes flying overhead. You name it. But, you know, that was the beginning of it. And, you know, now 4 years later, I have my own station with hosts and, you know, hell of a lot more shows.
Well, very nice. So when we talk about embracing your knowingness, what does that mean to you?
Well, as a person that's always felt more, you know, from the universe rather than being an earthly being, you know, being a spiritual being and always being like that for my whole life, that knowingness was always a place of a sense of peace, of knowing, of trust. And, you know, I believe that it comes in, you know, when people talk about their gut instincts. Well, how do you know? I don't know. I just feel it. Well, that is that divine intellect that comes in and resonates in the belly. And it goes up into the heart and gets it excited and raises up its vibration. It goes to the spirit to go into action. And then it draws from the mind what it needs to know at the time it needs to know it. And you're in a sense of knowingness that has no doubt, no judgment, no fear. You just know what you need to know, and it's so completely right.
So it sounds like the information you need becomes available in the moment you need it?
Exactly.
Well, then
we download what we need when we need it. The universe will never let us down. We've just got to keep our channels open.
Well, what do you think closes channels in people?
Fear, anxiety, judgment, this expectation that human beings put upon each other. They keep closing all their channels. You know, and the more they seek, but demand to seek it, you know, have it present itself in a way that they understand, instead of stepping into their knowingness and out of their what they think they know, people are scared to open up those channels.
Well, so often our busy mind can say, well, you're not doing anything in the moment. What the hell? I mean, how are we going to get anything accomplished? We're supposed to be busy right now. And what if your gut tells you right now is not the time?
Well, that's a big thing. When you look at the brain, it's kind of the CPU. It's the computer hard drive. It's fixed. And then you've got the kind of, the programming. This is what we learn in life, the patterns and the habits and the conditions. When we can actually change that side of it, that programming, to be more open and more aware, we actually understand, what we need to do. Just because a thought comes to you and knowingness comes to you in that moment doesn't mean, okay, I've got to act on it right on this second. If you're driving down the highway and you're meant to be writing a thesis at that moment, it's not going to happen. But it does mean the creative juices can go, the thoughts that can start feeding those possibilities, and your mind can go where the venture wants to take you so that you can physically act upon it when the time is right.
Well, maybe my imagination's running crazy, but this sounds pretty promising. So
It is. We are our own creative.
So if you create a new adventure or venture in your desire, and you set an intention to go do something you've never done before, like a radio mm-hmm. show or what, you can actually pick up the information while you're going?
That is the only way I work. I cannot read human manuals. I'm sorry. It just don't make sense to me. But when I step out of that and just go into that trust factor of, what do I need to know? I call it actually being organic. And you've been on my show and you see how I work. I have a certain amount of information on you, a certain topic we're going to follow. But how it's going to be spoken and where it needs to go, I allow that energy to take us. Because truly and utterly, that's the message that really needs to come out. If we learn to follow the beautiful energy, that divine energy that's constantly paving our way, and stop trying to dictate how we get there or which direction we go in, we will actually get to where we want to go and beyond our expectations so much faster.
I want to know where you get these human manuals. I don't remember arriving with one.
That is what I call life expectation. That manual is the way you are meant to live your life as a human being.
I like that. So it seems like there'd be some really powerful side effects to this. And one word that comes to mind is freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And let's understand what the word freedom is. We have a human vessel. We still need to house it, feed it, nurture it. There's still some needs that we have to pay attention to this vessel. But the freedom comes in the form of choice in how we do it, where we do it, and with whom we do it.
So is there a way to choose it wrong? Or, the universe seems pretty tolerant of ignorance and unknowingness. When you talk about following that path and making our choices, there's probably some wiggle room in there.
Well, I believe that we're all actually designed before we came here. The purpose for which we're here is already designed. It's in our DNA. It's in our makeup. And when we actually tap into what we are gifted to do here, it is our choice in how we follow that gift and what we do with it. But we can't fight against the gift. We can't fight against what we're here for. And that's why so many people are unhappy with what they're doing in life and redirect at that middle age and go and do something completely different that means something to them, because they've learned to tap into that inner voice and their divine purpose.
So say we have a listener and you're talking about people who are not dialed into their purpose. And for me, it's not uncommon for people to say, well, I really don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my purpose is. How do you go about finding that? I mean, do you drop breadcrumbs or?
Look to your past. Look to your childhood. Look to the things that you did as a child that you loved. Were you a child that loved to build with building blocks? Were you a creative child with your art or your writing? Did you like to dress up and express yourself? When we look at our children, they are already giving us an indication of what their possibilities are, of paths that they can take. But then they go to school, and that linearization of expectation of how they should learn and what they should turn out, is, I call it manufacturing, and then the product is turned out at the other end, and then the product doesn't fit what the world needs. We have to pay attention to the signs in life, and those signs are always there. Whenever you feel that you're doing something you really like, you really love, you really connect with, then that's already a thread that you should be following. If you positively hate what you're doing in your life, it's telling you to redirect.
So your enjoyment of it, it sounds like, is a measuring stick for how congruent you are with your life path.
It's imperative. Because if you're not enjoying what you do, you're never going to do it properly.
So wait a minute. If we get a habit of enjoying our lives on a day-to-day basis, we could end up living a happy and healthy life. I mean, is that a reasonable expectation?
Absolutely and totally achievable.
Wow. So, you know, I've had some time to talk to you, and you're so, you exude that sense of comfort, a sense of peace, a sense of knowingness that you're right where you need to be. How does that feel to I don't want to say settle in, because your life is always unfolding, but how does it feel to have reached that point in your life?
Well, you know, let me just draw a pattern here, Liz. I am still, because I redirected again at what was I, 57, not going on 58, you know, I had to rebuild and restart all over again. And that meant financially and everything. And so, obviously, the precarious side of doing things like this is sometimes that you really do have to walk away from everything and be willing to start all over again. And sometimes it's a little bit of a strife to do so. But when your conviction and your purpose is so meaningful and it speaks to your heart and your soul in such a way that you cannot ignore it, that is your fuel for moving forward. That is your persistence, your trust, your guidance. And who I am today with what I'm doing today is, I think, what I've worked for many lifetimes to do. It's what I was put down to do here many, many lifetimes ago. It's just in this lifetime I found a medium in which I really can do it far more effectively.
Wow, I like that idea that you've been honing this for lifetimes and it's coming into full fruition in this lifetime.
I have to thank the internet. I mean, neither one of us would get our message out there if it wasn't for the internet today. And that in itself has opened up so many doors to so many possibilities for people. There really isn't an excuse anymore to say, I don't know, because knowledge is literally a click away.
You know, when I look at the way, the rate, perhaps, in which things unfold, like Adele, the singer, mm-hmm. She went from unknown to known worldwide in like a year. It's like the pacing of what can happen with the internet, with the connectivity we have with everything. I suggest it doesn't even matter what your age is or what your past has been. There's so much raw potential in these days that we're living in, that when you show up for yourself, when you tune into that inner knowingness with a sense of trust and take that inspiration into action like a reflex, where you don't even vet it, or you know, your mind doesn't have to understand the big picture, just show up. It mm-hmm. seems like your life can blossom at any point in it, regardless of age or experience or past.
I think, you know, one of the beautiful things about, you know, our age group at the present moment is the fact that we can be such participants and interactors with life right now. Whereas in the past, we'd be put out to pasture. You know, our cycle of life and productivity is over. Now we're being able to take that accumulation of wisdom and knowingness and be able to get out there and be that beacon of knowledge and encouragement and celebration of other people that are either our same age or even the younger people. And you've got the vision, but we've got the knowledge on how to make that vision come to fruition. It's a beautiful time to actually look upon people as ageless and look at the contributions that they're able to bring.
Nice. You know, I was talking with my kids the other day. You could have not lived in the 1900s at all and have a driver's license today. I mean, that it's crazy that there's people living as young adults that were born, maybe I'm dating myself, it just doesn't seem like that long ago. And with the millennial mindset, I think there's so much raw creative talent that has no imprint of the past, that there's so much potential.
They're not burdened by the past.
I think there's an advantage too from our perspective in that we've seen so many generations unfold over time. Like I remember as a kid, I could just walk away from the house in the morning and go get into all kinds of mischief miles and miles away and then show up well after dark. And my parents never blinked an eye. We'd leave the front door open. And I think we have a memory of that for a reason, in that there's some generations that haven't seen that side of life. And the baby boomers can bring that memory, that understanding of what peace can look like back into the fold, back into the collective.
I think, you know, going even further is bring back the simplicity. You know, we went through an era, especially with, you know, things like the internet and all of a sudden everybody having to have degrees and PhDs and master degrees and DBBs, you know, it just became so important. And self-importance became so important that it kind of misconstrued, you know, that journey for really that knowingness, that purpose in life. And we went on this false illusion that, you know, the big house, the money, the power would be where, you know, where our accomplishment would be. And we're seeing a complete pendulum swing of rejection against that now. Not saying that people don't want money. We need it, and everybody would like to have a comfortable life. But the importance of self-importance has been completely relabeled. And people are realizing their importance now is in the integrity of their person, their integrity of their intent and their participation, and that the wealth of a person isn't by their bank account. It is about their actions, who they are, and what they stand for.
Right, I like that. And when we can rediscover that, I guess, with ourselves, the collective will become a lot more stable than it is now. Some of the chaos is that we've kind of totally lost that. So what do you see, I mean, in this next chapter of what you're doing, what kind of ideas do you have that will unfold for you?
Well, you know, I've been assigned now getting the message out. And whereas before it was the message coming through me to the individuals, because that's how I worked, you know, I now become the advocate, the cheerleader, the beacon board for others doing the work. And, you know, that is that radio wave, so to speak, that is going out. And, you know, I do four shows myself, four genres on the station. I have other hosts joining me, and I'm aligned with a magazine. And the whole thing is that there are so many people that have embraced that purpose, that embraced that divine gift of living in their own sense of peace, that it should be shared. And we should you know, get it out there for people to learn how they can do it themselves. So for me, there is most certainly more of that, hopefully more speaking engagements. I'm now ready to step back into that. But mostly it is, I'm there to celebrate those doing it and to shed that spotlight on them and make sure it shines bright and everybody sees it.
Well, I think there's, what you're talking about is being in service. And a lot of times what motivates that is compassion in your heart. And when you can find that place of compassion and show up in service, I think that's one of the best feelings that you can have when you honor that.
That's always been, you know, people used to say, but you're a people pleaser. And I go, yes, I do like to please people. You know, not with me, kind of used to be kind of the kissing of the feet, so to speak, and I realize that doesn't work. It is about celebrating who the people are and the courage and the challenges and the tenacity and the belief and the value and the love that they've placed on themselves. There's a reason why the station is called Self-Discovery, because when people take that discovery of self and start placing that value on self, they become more fortified, more fruitious, that they can now share that abundance with other people. So it's that generating of that positive divine energy. And the more we do that, the more it resonates out to other people.
What would you tell our listeners, perhaps are a few simple ideas they can use to improve their discovery or sense of self?
Actually, I have a show in one of my genres this week, Sarah's View of Life. It's the show I do every week from my perspective only, where I don't interview. And it's, you know, have a conversation with your mirror. And that is actually always one of the exercises I had with my clients. And it's sit down, have a damn good conversation with your mirror. Because you're looking eyeball to eyeball. And you know when you're pulling the wool over your own eyes. You know when you're fooling yourself. This is time for honesty. And it's not a time to beat yourself up. It's not a time to say, oh, that was a stupid move. It's rather a time to say, you're not serving yourself with that action. What can you do to serve you? Because you can't serve anybody else until you are of service to yourself, in kindness, in love. So the first step would be that. Second step is your pros and cons. Write down a column of all your pros in life, everything that you know and embrace about yourself that you like. Write down the cons. Go through those cons list and go, is this really me? Am I, you know, is that really a con? Or is this an expectation of life being put upon me? Is this something that somebody else wants from me? Is this something that I've been told I should do? And start crossing off those cons that really don't have anything to do with you. They've been imposed upon you. And start looking to the pros of what really you do stand for, what you really do want in life, and start nurturing those.
So, in a sense, you're giving yourself permission. I mean, like your family of origin might have some stigma around religion, or you know, this idea of quote righteousness or whatnot. And if that doesn't suit you, you need to be able to give yourself permission to say no and choose a more authentic choice.
Absolutely. This is a word I use a great deal, is that permission. And, you know, you'll find generally with the younger generation now, you know, the millennials, they're not so much into that permission. You know, they're into exploration. The permission needs to be given to the older generation that has lived their life as in servitude, almost as a servant, and rather than of service. When you're of service, you're giving something of yourself willingly. When you're giving yourself unwillingly, you become the servant. So that permission to place value upon yourself, to be important in your own life, is that first step.
I like what you said, to place value on yourself. Mm-hmm. The idea that we're divine beings, I mean, divine, and to even wrap your noodle around the divinity of who you are, there's a point where it becomes sacred and exciting. I mean, divinity, it's like, holy cow, I'm I have a divine identity and a divine purpose.
And, you know, let's never put the word divinity or divineness with righteousness, because they don't work
together. Amen. I like that.
And, you know, divineness is pure, utter, divine truth. And you go, okay, who's truth? Well, the universe only knows. If you're looking at frequencies and wavelengths and energy patterns, you are looking at the universe running as a very fine machine, if you want to look at it, of energy. It doesn't know good or bad energy. It just knows the flow of energy. And in that energy is always the truth in that moment. The righteousness comes from when somebody says, you know, that energy is the only energy you can live in, and you can't go in any other energy because it's against God. I love what the Pope recently said. I don't care what your religion is, as long as it's based in love and kindness. And that's the energy of the universe. It only knows love and kindness. It only knows fluidity and movement and that kind of truth. It is human beings that like to dictate this other, because we like to become territorial and we like to become lords over everything. We like to power over people. And that's where we go wrong.
Well, I like that idea of love. As long as you are of love, how do we become more loving? How do we embody love more?
You have to verbally start off with the dialogue. Your thoughts are your first words. They just haven't been articulated yet. When you open your mouth, what is it saying about you? What are you tuning into around you? What is the company that you choose to be with? How do you react to the things that are happening in the world? And, you know, we're seeing this politically right now. I'm here in Canada. I'm watching the political campaign because it always has an effect on Canada anyway. Plus, it's fascinating. And you've got one side of the fence where the amount of people that he has offended and degraded and demoralized, and yet he gets more popular and creates more hate and more unacceptable behavior, and yet he has people that, you know, love it. Is really kind of a real reflection on, take a good look at yourself. You know, is this what you stand for? And then you have the other side of somebody who's been in service his entire life, working for the people, and isn't afraid to roll up his sleeves and put on the punching gloves and knock a few people out off their high pedestals.
Right. And that would be Trump and Bernie, respectively.
That's right. I'm not a Bernie fan. I actually did a show back in, I think, September, October, before Justin Trudeau came into power. And my prediction is that it would be Justin Trudeau and Bernie.
Really?
We would see a totally different demographic, which is so needed in North
America. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm in the country watching it happen, and I see such frustration, and people are just hungry for any hope, and I think in the past they've been kept at bay from really true, powerful people that are authentic and from love. And like you said, I think there's a new paradigm coming down the pike, and there'll probably be quite a bit of upheaval, and we're watching that upheaval. Mm-hmm. But I think consciousness is such a powerful thing that so many people have learned self-love. So many people have learned that hate doesn't get you there. Hate won't ever bring you peace. It's going to be curious to watch. So,
the thing is, what you need to look at, you know, is this. You have had a war going on for the last 14 years that you've paid for, that has caused your infrastructure of America to start crumbling and falling. You have had American people paying the price of that to pay for that war, not just financially and their jobs and their standard of living and their health care, but with the very lives of their children and their fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. You know, it gets to a point where enough is enough. And when you have somebody still inciting hate, oh, I'm going to kill them, I'm going to bomb them, I'm going to do this and that, and people go, but isn't there a better solution? Isn't there a different way we can do this? why are we still going hungry? You haven't got a war on hunger. You haven't got a war on poverty in your own country. Yet you're so anxious to get out there and blow somebody else up. People are tired of it. And it's that tiredness that makes them look to another option.
Yeah. I like what you said. So for us as an individual, when we embrace this idea of love, how do we bring that into our everyday lives? I mean, because I think there's some ideas of love that where you, like you've mentioned before in the show, you turn into a servant and it's like you take responsibility for how other people feel, and you can be dysfunctional with love in the sense that, well, if I'm going to love you, then you need to be happy, and if you're not, I haven't loved you enough. I mean, how do you put on love and walk out in the open and still honor yourself?
You don't put it on. You become love. You are love. And you can't be that love until you have love of self. If you do not love who you are, your choices, what you stand for, what you believe in, you can't act on that love. You can't exude that love. You can't demonstrate that love to anyone else. If you want to be loved, if you want to be admired, if you want people to do business with you, you must step up and be accountable and take ownership for your presence. And when you step into that self-worth, you step into that self-love, and you stop looking at all the things that society has said is wrong with you, and you start looking at all the beautiful things that are right with you, and you start feeding those things, and you start celebrating them, you start sharing them, and you will not have to convince anybody else that you are love or to love you. Instead, you'll be inspiring them and inviting them to love you.
I like what you said, the idea of self-love. I think self-love makes a good barometer to keep you in balance. And I suggest it takes practice. Depending on your past, how much love was displayed or modeled in your family dynamics, for many people, the idea of self-love is not something they really understand to the point of being able to recognize when they're not loving themselves. Because I think part of what, when you are love and you personify love and you go into service, you can drop out of balance with yourself if you don't pay attention to that self-love. And that self-love can say, well, the best thing for me to do right now is to go home and take a nap or to not do this anymore because I need to recharge my own batteries. I mean, it's self-love.
Well, there's a word I would use here called selective. Everybody that embraces their divine spirit and purpose now becomes extremely selective of the people that they're around. They no longer waste their time on the naysayers or the people that want to pull them down or the people that just want to strip them of their energy. They start hanging around and working with the people that have raised their own vibration, that are working on their true resonance, and become a different type of family, a different type of collaboration, where they work together, support each other, and celebrate each other. And you become so much more selective of the people around you and what you invite in, what you tolerate, and what you'll participate in.
And when you start to be mindful of that and you choose people that also love themselves, and there's a level of energy that comes that lifts you up collectively when everybody
a whole load of
is
good vibrations.
Yeah. Well, there's some juice in that too, because when and it's not a force thing, it's not an ego thing, it's just a present in the moment fulfillment, if you will. And when everybody's anchored in self love and they're showing up in love, I think things get easier, things get more graceful, and the ego tends to enjoy it.
Well, you know, this is something that's always misconstrued about spirituality, is that when you step into the love zone, where you choose to love, you choose to be kind, you choose to be celebratory of life, that all of a sudden you become and that, you know, you're out in the twilight zone. I can still get angry over things. I can still be totally intolerant of behaviors. It's just the way I react to them is different. I will step up and hold somebody accountable to their action if their action is hurting somebody else, but I won't attack them. Instead, I will speak to that action or give them a mirror to see it for themselves. You know, that's the difference between it, is I'm an incredibly spiritual human being, but I use my spirituality in the human way of making sure that everybody steps into the ownership and be accountable of self.
Yeah, just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you take other people's crap, that's for sure.
It's a new way.
And that's part of the self-love thing, too. You know,
yes,
it's like,
it is. Why should I put up with it?
If you can't see who I am or my value, what the hell? Get the hell, you know.
How many million or billions of people are there on this planet? You know, there is your community of people that are like-minded, like-souled, like-hearted, are there. All you have to do is be willing to reach out, participate, and interact. You are not alone. You're never, ever alone. But you are going to have to make a decision of maybe walking away from family members, friends, a job that is dysfunctional, that is at the expense of your inner joy.
Yeah, you don't... And I think some people can feel as like leaving a family dynamic that's not healthy. It's not something to be taken personally. A lot of time, that's the agreements the souls have had,
mm-hmm.
that it, because it's a challenge point in the sense that, can you honor the truth of who you are? Can you be loyal to your own self-love, to your own self-worth, when everything outside of you suggests otherwise? I think part of what makes this time in our human history so powerful is how flippin' far we went into the darkness.
Yeah.
And anywhere in the whole flippin' galaxy, in the whole universe, if you're living in utter darkness in the collective and you can find your own light, that's an extremely advanced level of human understanding, that it's like the PhD level of mastering the art of being a human being.
That is the point. And the thing is, I've known the repressive darkness, the one that holds you back, that won't let you listen to your soul, that wants to keep you in the dark. I can now be in the dark and see all the light I need without any fear, without any repression whatsoever. You know, that repression of pulling you down, of pushing against you, of dictating to you is a force. That, you know, when you talk about heaven and hell, when you talk about good and evil, that's where that energy lies. When an energy is against you, against you being your divine self, then that is an energy that is very, very negative. And you have to be away from that energy in order to be able to seek out the energy that serves you. You will never be able to change that energy or make that energy understand you or embrace you for who you are, because that energy is working on a different frequency and is unable to do so.
Well, it's not your call to decide what other energy does.
No. If it doesn't serve you, you must go on the journey to find one that does.
Right, and sometimes people get this notion, well, hell, I'm a healer, I'm a spiritual, you know, guru, mystic, whatever. I'm here to save people, and therefore I need to change who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Time out, stop.
No. Nope. You got it wrong. You didn't
anybody.
Read the right memo.
That's the right manual.
Yes. You know, it's just like our children, we're custodians. We're not here as their owners. We're custodians. And the ownership of that custodian is that we're there to pave their path in knowledge, in understanding, in all their divine light and purpose. That's what we're here there to do, is you know, look after them, but certainly not own them. And that comes with every single human being here. Nobody owns us. We are owners unto ourselves, but we can be part of the collective and participate and meld with people, but nobody can dictate over somebody else what they should or shouldn't do, or what rights they have, or take ownership of them, because that is not the divine human way.
You can't. It stems from personal sovereignty and free will.
Mm-hmm.
To have that for yourself, you have to respect that for others.
Yes, most certainly. And that's, you know, again, back to that mirror show. You're going to draw to you what you put out. And if you are an inspiration, you'll be an invitation. Your participation with other people and celebration of them also becomes an invitation for dialogue. You know, we are what we put out. We are our reflection. So if we want kindness and love and respect and appreciation, then we have to be that unto ourselves and reflect it back out to others.
Very nice. Well, Sarah, take some time and tell us about your platforms and what you're doing and what you have going for the future. Can you give us a rundown of what's up?
Yes, most certainly. I'll just give you a quick rundown of what Self-Discovery Radio does. I have most shows are on Choose Positive Living, and that's where I interview the individuals, those that have embraced their redirect, that are living in that divine purpose today and being of service to humanity. I have Their Story Matters, which is twofold. One is on the extraordinary stories of courage and survival against all adversity, and also the organizations that have stepped up and are investing in humanity and seeding those possibilities and opportunities for others. I have Positive Vibrations Roundtable, where I bring hosts that I've interviewed before back to the table, where we take a topic and we have this open discussion and lively conversation of what's you know, what our perspectives are. And I have my own shows, Sarah's View of Life, which is where I share my perspectives on various things going on in life or just how I feel or whatever. We have Wise Health with Suma Nathan, a 78-year-old with over 50 years of holistic knowledge, who still gets out booging and dancing every weekend, with Bill Mackey, our energy reader, who's also now starting a show called Quinessence, which is a complete and utter program in actually understanding your thought process and who you are. We also have Transforming Relationships with Julianne O'Connor, who talks about that relationship with self and with others. And we have the Wellness Show with Linus Woods Mullins, where she interviews people who are in the wellness industry and how we can face that our obstacles and challenges and be well, mind, body, and spirit ourselves. Plus, I have collaborated with Linus Woods Mullins with her magazine. She has a magazine called Wellness Woman 40 and Beyond, and she has many beautiful articles in there. It features every 2 months. And we have aligned together, united together, to bring about a spotlight program where we take people and their books, their programs, their brand, their service, their coaching, and it's become a spotlight program where they get a radio show, they get an article in the magazine, plus advertisement in both the magazine and on the radio station featuring their work. We've told their story, their why, their journey, and how they've got to where they've got. Now we actually focus and direct on the work they're doing and how it serves humanity. I hope to be going to Europe this year to do some guest speaking and to branch out a little more over there. I have an enormous amount of followers and people I've interviewed over in Europe, in UK and various parts of Europe. And, you know, opening up now to the guest speaking and just could essentially making sure that that spotlight is on the people that are out there that are doing the great work in life, because they should be heard. They have taken a lifetime to accumulate this knowledge, And they can now pass that knowledge into other people that are embarking on their own journey. And so they can avoid the potholes and they can gather tools that can help them walk their own path. They can have encouragement. They don't have to feel alone. There's somebody there for them. And with such diverse shows of over 1,300 shows in our archives, we have got a show for any topic you want to think about. We've got it.
Wow. I mean, wow. I am thoroughly impressed by how you've embodied the possibilities. I mean, the vision I had of while you're describing this is you're the amplifier of human consciousness, where the guests on your show show up and you take what the history and the knowledge that they have and you blast it, you broadcast it on all these mediums that you're talking about. I have to say, you, through the attention and intention you're giving this human consciousness, you're an accelerator of the collective consciousness rising up, because you're connecting all the dots, you're connecting the wisdom, you're connecting the history, the understanding, the experience at such a broad and vast level. And I love how you're looking into the future to even take it up a notch over and over and over again. I'm so glad you're on this planet. You're rocking it. Way to go.
Bless you. Well, with people like you to interview, believe me, I'm the one that is appreciative. You know, I don't need therapy. I've got all these wonderful people I interview. I get all the answers I need in life. But, you know, it's really, when we look at what we're capable of, you know, I'm a possibilities person. I don't like to, you know, whenever, that was part of my job as a spiritual counselor. You know, I'm a reader as well. I could see people, what they're capable of, what the possibilities are. And when I see what is possible, especially when we come together, when we put ideas together, you know, the path that can be taken through action and what we can actually achieve, it's exciting. You know, we are the solution to this planet's ills. We are the solution to its global warming. We are the solution to its hate. We are the solution to its discord. We're the solution to its poverty, to its hunger. We as human beings have been the problem. It's now time for us to come together as a collective to be the solution. And we can be, because in each and every one of us has been given a divine gift, a divine equation that could be a part of the whole thing to make it work.
And when you get excited about that vision, I see it too for myself and for the collective. When you get those moments of inspiration, that those moments of vision of possibilities, and you get really genuinely excited about it, that's the crucible, the doorway, the melting pot where the old dissolves and the new is born.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, we've got to stay, you know, out of the past. You know, let's pay attention to what the past did. Okay, hang on. Well, how many times have we repeated that? Don't think that we need to change the record now. You know, it's a different tune that we need to be walking to. You know, let's get into those good vibrations. You know, the music to my show is Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. Let's get into those, because it's only when we step up and say, I'm accountable for my own life and I choose to live my life abundantly, that can you start bringing that abundance towards your society? In a way, the answer. Let's take ownership of that.
And you're doing just that. I think you embody it so well. You exude it. So I'm quite delighted. So Do you see what do you see like 5 or 10 years out? How do you see this unfolding for you into the future?
I'm hoping for expansion. You know, I know that there's only so much I can do. Yeah, you know, I'm obviously limited with time and everything else, but I'm hoping to see this platform kind of expand on itself and take new directions and kind of reach out into new areas. I mean, I know that I've sent the invitation out to the universe for this expansion. We have a sponsorship program where people can come and sponsor a genre and get behind supporting us so that we can continue to do the work and finesse and refine and grow and get the word out of those wonderful organizations that are doing things. I don't dictate as to what is going to happen other than I lay an invitation out is that I'm open, willing, and able, and that whatever collaboration, and that's where I think the real thing is collaboration. I'm united with one magazine. I'd love to unite with another magazine that maybe specializes in a different area. I'd love to get more men on board with their voice and have their voice out there speaking to the men in invitation to express this new life. There's so many things that we can do, you know, and selfdiscoveryradio.com is just the start of it.
Well, you know, an hour goes by pretty fast, and I have to say it's been such a delightful show. I knew it was going to be. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to thank you for how you're showing up for yourself. You're such a delightful example of what self-love looks like when it's worn so well.
Thank you. It was work in process, and that's something else, folks. Tenacity. Don't give up on yourself. You're going to have good days and bad days. Don't feed the bad days. Feed the good ones. Eventually, the bad days will become fewer.
Well, Sarah, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute delight.
Sarah Troy, embracing your knowingness. You could hear from that dialogue how love looks like when you put it on for yourself, when you are it, and you can understand, you can feel that place of love where you're honoring the love, honoring it and respecting it in the sense that your own self-love is intact and you're cognitive of it. And you exude love by just being who you are. There's not a struggle or effort to it that takes you out of your joy. You're always compatible with happiness, with a genuine sense of enjoying what you're doing. And when you can stay in that high vibration of love, and live there, it's I think the days are filled with just a deep sense of delight and satisfaction, because you're showing up for yourself, you're honoring your potential, who you are, your life purpose, and when you get that whole chemistry to be a habit, to be effortless. In fact, you can feel when you're stepping out of that and you catch yourself, there's a point where it becomes self-evident and self-intuitive. And I think Sarah embodies that so well. Well, you know, you showed up for yourself by listening to this show tonight. There's all kinds of resources for you at New Human Living. If you're traveling, even driving in your morning commute, you can pull up one of these radio shows and listen to it. We've had wonderful guests on with very powerful messages. With the blogs I write about your divinity. You're here to kick some butt, and you don't ever have to apologize for honoring the divinity of who you are. We've got some programs lined up for 2016, and we'll be bringing them online. It's been my pleasure to host this show tonight, and I'm so delighted that you decided to show up for it. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.